The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome to Exploring the Word. This is Bert Harper along with Wesley Wildman. Alex is out and about with his wife, Angie. We want you to be praying for them, that they'd have a safe time together. And we're going to be studying in the book of Jeremiah. We've been going through that for 2 weeks and a little more now. And it's 52 chapters, so it'd take a while to go through. Wesley, we're about halfway through. Matter of fact, we are. If I know what half of 52 is, yeah, it's 26.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the best way we can do it on a radio program is to do it the way we do it. It would be long and drawn out, and we would lose you if we went verse by verse and did the Hebrew and everything else. Yeah,
some of the later books that we've done, we've, you know, Leviticus, we've done Deuteronomy, now Jeremiah. If we'd have gone through that verse by verse, I'm afraid we'd have worn people out.
Yeah.
So we're taking a bird's eye view. Now, I'm studying it very particular, okay, trying to dig out, and I'm enjoying it as much as any book I've Well, I've said that, I think, three or four times on the different books I've had. Brent's shaking his head. That's true that I've said that. But I am enjoying them, going into them in detail. Mm-hmm. But when we present it on the program, we're trying to give them the high marks and overview. So we're going to try to do that again with 27, 28, and 29. Mm-hmm. Now, when we get to 29, I think there'll be a verse or two there that people say, oh, yes, that's my verse. So we'll get to that today. But chapter 27, we come into it, and this is an action sermon. Jeremiah and Ezekiel, more than any of the two prophets, had what you'd call action sermons. Not just words, but acting out what things. And this is the yoke. And he has a wooden yoke, and he has several of them, and he puts one on himself, and he goes and preaches. How would you like to preach with a yoke on you?
That would be pretty difficult to do in any circumstance.
Well, Jeremiah did it, and notice who he does this to. And this brings up chapter 27, and he's going to have three, it's the same message to three different groups.
Okay.
Okay? And the first one, it says, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Now, I know we read that every time, but that was important. Jeremiah, and we're going to see it today, didn't have anything to say unless the Lord told him to say it. We'll find him walking away and then waiting till the Lord told him to get back, tell that. We get to that in the next chapter. But notice what it says in verse 2. Thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes and put them on your neck. And then he says, and send them to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the Amorites, the king of Tyre, and the king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers who come to Jerusalem, to Zedekiah, king of Judah. Now, they're coming for a conference. I think you'd call it the G6.
Yeah.
You know, the big conference.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You know, the economic conference
right.
that people have. And this is where they're going to try to figure out how to defeat Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar.
Mm-hmm.
They're wanting to figure out how to beat them. And Jeremiah's already told and tells them again, you're going to have a yoke upon you. You cannot defeat Nebuchadnezzar.
Gotcha.
And so here we have it, and it says, verse 5 says, I have made the earth. Now, this is important. I really do believe verse 5 is great. I've made the earth, the man and the beast that are on the ground, by the great power and by my outstretched arm. This is God's words. The "my" is capitalized. And it says, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. Mm. Now, how do you like that? I gave it to whom I thought it proper to give. Now, when I think of that, and I want you to respond, he gave Israel this strip of land right on the Mediterranean Sea that connects, close to connected, three continents. Africa, Europe, Asia. And just about everybody, if they was going to do trade, they would, many of the trade routes would, guess what, go through Israel.
Right.
And there they would be a testimony. They were missionaries without having to leave. They were missionaries by staying there because people were coming to them.
Now, it's just like God to do something like that.
Well, he made the earth, so he knew the geographical makeup, didn't he?
Exactly. He's always got the best plan in mind, and sometimes it's difficult and takes us a lot longer time to realize that. And sometimes we learn from our previous lessons, we'll see, and then we're able to make better decisions the next time. But that's exactly like that. And it reminds me of when he says there that the way I would have do it. It sounds similar to the language you would hear in the book of Job.
It does. Uh-huh. It does. Job and Jeremiah had a lot of similarities.
Yes.
When Jeremiah was privately talking to the Lord, mm-hmm. wished I were not born, you know, mm-hmm. sounded just like Job. I wondered if you read Job.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, Job was one of the first books ever written.
Chronologically, yeah.
Yeah, it was written. And really, it was one of the first books that you have, because in Abraham's, at least the patriarch's time,
right.
Before the law and before the prophets.
Uh-huh.
So it was an early book, and even about an earlier time. Notice what he says. This is my land. I'll give it to who I want to. Mm-hmm. Verse 6, and now I've given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, my servant. There it is again, servant.
Yeah.
So he says, I've chosen to give all this to Nebuchadnezzar for a while. Now, it's God. We're only stewards of what God's given.
Exactly, and we can do so with that depending on where our heart's set and what our desires are. But what we should do is take the land and the resources that God's given us and to steward it for His glory and for His kingdom. You know, that's one of the most difficult things in my sanctification process is realizing that I'm not my own, that I'm bought with a price. And that means not just my time, but everything around me, my resources should be, I should dedicate that to the Lord, whether it's time spent with my family. And one of my favorite things about my relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the fact that He gives me the opportunity to love Him by loving others.
Amen.
And that's just amazing. I can love my wife, and therefore I'm loving Christ. And so it's just amazing the way we just got to, like we're learning here, we've got to stick to God's plan. We've got to stick to His design, His structure. And there's fences, and there's what we call rules, sounds negative, are there for a reason. And they had done away and overlooked the rules and had made much sin over and over again, which is why we're reading what we're reading right now in Jeremiah.
Hearing what you said about, you know, loving God and loving others, the neat thing about when you love the Lord more, it helps you love your wife more and better.
Yeah.
Helps you love your children more and better.
Yeah, it does.
Helps you, you know, it's helps you love you.
Yeah.
The love is amazing. I found this out, and I know you have one child, Bennett, and he's a great little boy. I'm telling you what, I get to see him every once in a while. Well, Jen and I had three sons. The amazing thing about love and children, we had Nathan. He was our oldest one. Man, we loved him. We thought, man, how could we love another one? Well, God gave us Matthew. Guess what? We loved Matthew as much as we did Nathan, but it did not diminish our love for
Nathan.
That's
amazing. Yeah.
And then God gave us Micah, the youngest one, and the same thing happened. Even those that had, you know, 19 and counting, whatever that might be.
Wait, hold on. You love Micah the same? No, I know Micah. He's
if Micah's listening,
I can mess with him a little bit.
He can. But anyway, you know, God's love is amazing. Uh-huh. And the more, and so He says, this is my world, and I'm choosing right now to let Nebuchadnezzar be the steward of it until. And so, and notice what happens in verse 12. I also spoke to Zedekiah, the king of Judah, according to all these words. The same message that he gave the five messengers from these countries, he gives to Zedekiah. And they're complaining about what all is going to happen. They don't want Babylon to rule over them, who, you know, most people would not.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what happens in verse 16. I also spoke to the priest and to the people, saying, thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of your prophets. Now, these were false prophets. We've talked about false prophets.
Right.
They were giving them hope when there wasn't any hope, Wesley. Now, you know, I'm one of these guys. I enjoy preaching the truths of God's word, but I love to end the message on hope.
Right.
And Jeremiah really did because he said, you're going, but you will be restored.
Right, right. Technically, yes, I see exactly what you're saying. But we've had this discussion just recently discussing the difference between false prophets and false teachers. And one of the things that you brought to my attention up front, when you're trying to figure that out, is we got to go modern day, speaking practically for us speaking and you listening today, we've got to look at the person of Jesus. I mean, we've got to look at where the whoever's in front of you, whether it's a teacher or a prophet, you've got to look and we've got to understand where they stand on the person of Jesus.
You know, yesterday on Today's Issues, a program, and we do suggest you listen to AFR all day, those of you that can. There's a real good program. It comes on at 10 o'clock Central Time, Today's Issues. Your dad, Tim Wallman, and Ed Vitagliano are usually the hosts. There's others that co-host.
Ray Pritchard.
Ray Pritchard is on there certain days. But anyway, they had Neil Malman, and he was on. He was today and did our devotion, and he did some things about other religions. And but the centerpiece of what you do is stick with Jesus Christ. No matter, you want to find out what they say about Jesus. Like Muslims, they say Jesus is a great prophet.
Right.
He was, but he was more.
Right.
So when you talk to them, when you talk to Hindus and Buddhists, Hindus would just, you know, just everything is God.
Yes.
And they have an unknown God, and you do like Paul and take him to the, like he was in Athens.
Right.
And he said, I see that you have this statue to the unknown God. Let me tell you about him. He's really the only God.
Yeah.
You know, so you do all those, and it's about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole gist of what we do concerning false teachers. That's where you start.
Right. And there's a passage in the New Testament I want to brought to our attention. And I'll do this also in chapter 28, if you're listening then. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as they were to be false teachers among you. You will be who will secretly bring destructive heresies and even deny the master who brought them. That goes back to deny the master. That's capitalized master, deny Jesus.
Exactly.
As a person who brought them out, who just saved them, who delivered them. And I'll stop there, but that's a good passage to remember because it talks about how they will bring deceptive speech and heresies among the people, but seems similar. It can be deceptive up front, but when you really look at it and you begin to dissect it, then you're like, oh, okay, there's a difference between a Muslim. There is a difference between the religions. There's a difference between Muslims and Christianity.
You have to look at the definitions of the word.
Yeah.
What they mean may be completely different than what the biblical
actions.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, let me read the last verse here. It's verse 22, a chapter, because it was talking about Jeremiah. They was trying to give them immediate hope, and God says, no, there's not going to be any. And Jeremiah does give them ultimate hope. It says, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there they shall be under the day that I visit them, says the Lord, then I'll bring them up and restore them into this place. See,
that's the part I wanted to read.
Is that?
Could we have started there?
Okay.
But amen. You can't really, you know.
Well, you know, Alex, he's coined this. He's heard it from someone else, but he's on this program, he's coined it. He said, you know, you can't get a person saved until you get them lost, or, you know, the way he says it, there's not any good news without the bad news.
I've said that before, yeah.
And the bad news is we're lost, we're hopeless without God.
You're exactly right. And one of the other ways I've looked at that before is that the gospel and our salvation is, now this may sound strange, so follow me here, Brother Bert, is illuminated compared to our desperate need and our sinfulness, if you follow me on that.
I got you.
So the more you speak about that, and the more you're able to see that, the more you see God's grace and His forgiveness.
We hope you see and understand the grace of God. I'm telling you, He can make a difference in your life. This is Wesley and Bert, and we'll be back with more right after the break.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your healthcare with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of healthcare. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your healthcare forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing healthcare for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Shalom, this is Holy Land Moments, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, and I'm your host, Rabbi Yechiel Eckstein. Throughout the year, every week in synagogue, we read the Torah, or Bible, beginning with the first chapter of Genesis through the final chapter of Deuteronomy. This week, we read the Torah portion called Va'etchanan, from Deuteronomy chapter 3, meaning, I pleaded. It opens with Moses pleading with God to let him enter the promised land. Remember, earlier Moses had disobeyed God's command and was forbidden to lead the people into Israel. So Moses begged God over and over. In fact, the sages teach that Moses prayed the same prayer hundreds of times, asking to go into Israel. Eventually, God told Moses, enough. The sages teach that if God had let Moses continue asking, the power of prayer would have forced the hand of God, so to speak, and upset his grand plan for humanity. The incredible lesson that we can take from these verses is the power of just one more prayer. Often we pray for something and when we feel our prayers aren't answered, we give up. The rabbis teach that when it comes to prayer, we have to be like children who continually nag their parents. That doesn't mean that God is like a pushover parent who gives into our nagging and whining, but it is through our repeated prayers that we change. We become closer to God, and we learn to value what we pray for.
Join us this year in following Rabbi Eckstein's teachings with our Holy Land Moments daily devotion. To sign up, visit holylandmoments.org. That's holylandmoments.org.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
I hope that's your prayer. God, let your word speak to me. The Holy Spirit usually uses his word. Yes, he has a still small voice, but he usually speaks. And he may be speaking to you about participating and helping individuals. Operation Tank Full of Love is coming up in September. Matter of fact, it ends September the 17th, then we're asking you to join us in helping Operation Tank Full of Love to put free gas in the car tanks of soldiers in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. The goal this year is 2,500 soldiers. You bless them and those that are married. You bless their families, I guarantee you. And you can do that by going to tankfulloflove.com, tankfulloflove.com. And be a part of that. I'm telling you what, and I would say that there may be others that are close to military, facilities. They might want to start doing that in their area, yeah. In the area churches. I know that would be great. So anyway, tankfulloflove.com. Okay, we're in Jeremiah chapter 28. Wesley, I call this the Battle of the Prophets.
That's right.
We're introduced to a new guy named Hananiah, and notice what it says, in the fourth year and in the fifth month. Now, if you're there at home or at your desk and you can underline the fifth month, that's going to be important later on.
Yeah.
I love how the Bible is so consistent, and sometimes we look over things, but the fifth month's going to be really important. Later on, we'll
yes,
come back to it to share it. But Hananiah, he came and he had a different message. Notice what his is. It says, thus says the Lord. Now, this is a prophet, supposedly a prophet of God.
Yeah.
Okay? In verse 3, it says, within 2 full years, I'll bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jehoiakim, the son of Jehoiakim, son of Judah, with all the captives. Now, he is saying it's going to be in 2 years.
Okay.
Now, what had Jeremiah said? 70 years.
Right.
If I add that up, I'm full of math today, you know. that's quite a bit of a difference, 68 years discrepancy there.
Yes.
Both of them can't be right.
Nope. Two things can't be right.
Now, you know, if I were to go fishing and I said I caught a fish that was 18 inches long and someone went with me and said, no, I believe it was 16 inches, we could be talking about the same fish. You know what I mean? It could be that close.
Right.
But the difference in 70 years and 2 years, somebody's wrong.
Somebody's
Wesley.
Wrong. And that's how we're going to be able to see which prophet is of God and which one's
no
not.
No doubt, right?
Yeah. And now I filled in, I forgot what chapter it was early on when y'all began the book of Jeremiah, and some of the prophets were killed. When they were wrong.
They were supposed to be killed.
Yeah.
And all of them didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's right. But some
Deuteronomy,
of,
yeah, they yeah. were to
the
be
book
stoned.
Of Deuteronomy.
Yeah,
that's
they were to be
was.
Stoned if that were the mm-hmm. case. Now, look real quickly at verse 6. It says, now, what was Jeremiah's response to this false preacher? Listen, the prophet Jeremiah said, amen, the Lord do so. Now, everybody said, is he agreeing with him? No. He's saying, I wish.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, if I put it in my vernacular today,
exactly.
and they said that, I wish it was yeah. true. You know,
uh-huh.
he's not agreeing with him.
No.
But he is, you know, he's disagreeing with him, but it's kind of hyperbole, you know,
sure.
in a way. But I wish that were the case.
And to say that there's no humor in Scripture, that's, I mean, right there for him, you could see him saying, yeah, I wish it was 2 years and not 68.
Well, God has a lot of humor.
70.
He called me into the ministry.
Yeah.
So God has a lot of humor. He says he's chosen the foolish things, you know, the weak things, and sometimes, you know, he's called some funny things.
Yep.
And that's one reason I love you, Dad. I love his dry humor that it comes along.
Right.
Makes those of us that work for him say, well, if we have some humor,
it's okay to bring it
we're
out.
We're okay to bring it out. And sometimes I do, and sometimes somebody at least laughs at my humor.
Somebody does.
Somebody, me. Anyway, I enjoy it. Okay, so here it is. And verse 9 says, as for the prophets with prophecies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. You see that? That's what you were talking
That's
about,
gross.
Being dead. When the prophecy comes to be, you'll know. A lot of times you do not know until it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You don't know it's over till it's over.
Yeah.
And so here it is. And Hananiah the prophet took the yoke of the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. Now, he said, if Jeremiah can have an action sermon, I can have one too.
Yeah.
So he takes it and breaks it. And he is, like I said, no, we're not under a yoke.
Mm.
Yeah, but you know what he says? He says you're going to be put under an iron yoke. But notice what takes place in verse 11. Hananiah spoke to the presence of all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so I'll break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. Now what did he do? The prophet Jeremiah went his way. Sometimes what you do is know when to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to do in an argument. How many does it take to argue?
Well,
at least
two.
Now, you know, have you had an argument with yourself?
That's what I was thinking. Oh. I'm just kidding.
You and Brent both was laughing, so I could tell your minds were going there. Yeah. Should I or should I not?
Yeah. But you're right. It takes two people to argue, and that's what we're seeing here.
There's this commercial, and I'm not advocating this commercial, but there's that commercial, little jinx, should I not?
Yeah.
And if I hear it, I go around in my brain that way. So anyway, that's arguing with yourself.
It's better to do that and argue with yourself as if you're your wife than it is to go and argue with your wife.
Okay. What would she say?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, and the prophet Jeremiah went his way, and Hananiah continued to go, and then God got a word to Jeremiah. Notice verse 12, Jeremiah saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying thus, says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. In other words, you're going to make it worse on the people by giving them a promise that is not true. You catch that, Wesley?
Yeah. It's like false discipline.
Yeah, and false hope.
Yeah,
it's everything.
Yeah.
It's false.
Yeah, exactly. Because you think about a father or a parent and a child, if they were to say, you know, and I'm going to give you a funny illustration. I was watching a movie the other day, and the mother wanted to encouraged the child, but she was doing the spelling bee, and she was getting the spelling all wrong, but she was telling her good job. And the dad was coming in going, that's just not right. It's not good for her. Yeah, but don't hurt her self-esteem. And they, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But it was false. And so she's going to go to school that next day. And we know this is a funny, it was a comedy show. They're going to go to school the next day not knowing how to spell. And so that idea of that false hope or that false discipline.
False praise, too.
False praise, yeah. So. Yeah.
Okay. Now notice what takes place in 15, 16. You remember when I said the fifth year was important?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to read three verses and you'll see why it's important. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, "Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie." See that? That's important. "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'll cast you from the face of the earth this year you shall die. Because you have taught rebellion against the Lord." Now look at verse 17. "So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month." Now do you remember when the prophecy came? The fifth month. Within 2 months, no more Hananiah.
Mm-mm. No more false prophet.
No more false prophet. So it's a dangerous thing to teach falsehoods.
Yeah, it is a dangerous thing, and we're going to see that a lot in the New Testament when you're in the Old Testament when you're promoting lies. It says in Proverbs the mouth that speaks wickedness and lies brings forth death.
It does,
and very literally here.
Okay, so you had the battle of the prophets. Who won?
God's prophet
Jeremiah, and so here. I thought of this too, the prophets of Baal and Elijah on top of Mount Carmel. That was one to 100.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it 400 prophets of Baal?
I'd have to look that up. I'm not sure.
Alex is not here to meet us. Alex, where are you when I need you, man? But anyway, they you know, it was one. But here it was one-on-one. But with God, guess what? One is a majority. Have you ever heard that? With
God, I have heard that.
And so here's the battle. And Hananiah... I'm saying this, but he bites the dust. And that's what will happen to false prophets. Any false prophet or false religion is going down, Wesley.
Yes.
And if you're listening today and you're trusting in anything, in anyone, apart from Jesus Christ,
yes,
it is not sufficient.
Whether it's yourself or other religions.
Okay, that was 400 prophets of Baal. Okay, on Mount Carmel. I thought that was the case. Okay, we're coming to chapter 29, and chapter 29 is one of those great chapters. And in place of him speaking, Wesley, he takes, well, I'm saying this, a pen in hand and begins to write. And it says, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive." Now this is great.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Jerusalem. He was not carried away. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were carried away. Others were carried away. Some of the vessels were carried away. The cream of the crop were carried away into Babylon. But guess what? Jeremiah still has a burden. I call him a pastoral prophet.
Yeah.
He had a heart for those people who were carried away.
Mm.
And so he writes them a letter because he thinks they may be discouraged.
Right.
Okay? And there's been a rebellion, by the way, back in Nebuchadnezzar. That's the reason most folks think Hananiah said that they would be delivered in 2 years, because word got back, and this is through history and the time, not through the, this is not Bible information, but there was a try to have an overthrow of Nebuchadnezzar's government when Hananiah said this in that year and that month.
Uh-huh.
And Hananiah's thinking, okay, they're going to win, and then we'll all come back.
Yes.
And so that had already come. And so these that were left in, that were in Babylon, they knew about the battle going on there.
Nice.
And so Jeremiah writes a letter of encouragement. That's made me think of the Apostle Paul.
Writing a letter.
A letter. Wouldn't he not do that? He would come to a city, and he would preach at the synagogue. Some would believe. They would come out. He would teach them.
And he would still have a burden for the
women. And he would ordain elders, usually leave Timothy, Titus, someone there.
Yeah.
And then he would go to the next city, and then what would he do? Write letters to them.
And you know why they wrote letters? Because they didn't have text messages. I thought you thought I was going to get you tricky with the trick question. Okay,
way to go, man. Yeah,
that was a real smart one.
That was. Amen. And so, speaking of letters in print, how about Engage Magazine, man?
Yeah, that's exciting. We just came out with the first annual Engage Magazine, which is our ministry here at AFA for the millennials. And so it's out, and if you want a copy, you can go to Engage Magazine or email us at engagemagazinefaq@afa.net.
Amen. And it is great. Mm-hmm. You brought me a copy. And
it looks sharp.
It's sharp. Looks good. I'm telling you. Okay. So the letter contains, let's add it in verse 4. Here's part of the letter. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. God takes the responsibility of them being in Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I've brought you there. Now notice what it says, build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may hear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. In the peace you will have peace. In other words, make your home there. Be a part of the community. Now, keep your identity.
Right.
But be a part. Mm-hmm. That makes me think of Romans 12:1. You know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, we're going to live in this fallen world.
And it completes that with saying, so that we can test what is true.
We sure can. And we live there. So that's what he says. Seek the peace of the city. And then he says, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you. In other words, there were some over there that had the same message Hananiah had. Uh-huh. Oh, we'll just be here for a while. And he says, no, build houses, make your living there. This is your home for 70 years. Yeah. Make yourself at home.
Wow. That's difficult for any of us to try to imagine, knowing that, especially when you had that false prophet come in. It's like, no, this is going to be a two-year deal. And we know the reality is that when God spoke, what he said was 70 years.
Okay. And we come finally to verse 10 and following, and this is very familiar territory, Wesley. And thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I'll visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. Now here it is, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you'll call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. Now, verse 11 is a verse that a lot of people claim as their life verse. It was, let's look at the specifics of where it was given. It was given to a people who were in a strange land in great difficulty, with a hope of restoration.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Let me see. Are we pilgrims as believers in a foreign kingdom?
Yes, we are.
Our citizenship is in heaven.
Yeah.
Not completely on earth.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarity to here. And you notice, though, that you notice the condition that God gives us if we seek him with all of our heart. And that's something that hopefully, at this point, they've learned, and they have 7 years to think about it.
They do. Now, we're about to take a break, and we want you to know that, can you claim that verse for yourself? Not completely, but yes, I think since we're in a strange land, that we can have the confidence that God's going to give us a future and a hope in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that hope is. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Wesley and I would love to hear from you, your question. We'll do our best to answer it. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio.
What motivates you? The praise of man or your love for God? It seems the devil never stops creating counterfeits for the holy things of God. This is especially true when it comes to that which motivates us. In Jesus' day, many of the Pharisees kept the religious laws solely for the applause and approval of men. Even when they prayed much, without a genuine love for God, their voices before God were nothing more than the sounds of noisy gongs. On the other hand, Jesus, motivated by his love for the Father, always kept the Father's commandments. Now, he not only lived this way, but he challenged us to do the same. Jesus said in John 14, He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. What motivates you today? Are your motives fueled by your love for Jesus? This is James Poole, the National Prayer Director for OneCry.com.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies. We're asking Christians to vote for candidates that stand for biblical principles and biblical moral values and engage in your community by living and sharing your faith.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
And I'm going to be sharing the gospel.
You'll find rally dates and locations, plus information on how you can be involved at DecisionAmericaTour.com.
Now is the time to take a stand.
To sharpen the faith of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who don't know him. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. This is host David Wheaton inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, to pursue that mission as we discuss a compelling topic from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Hey, it's Crane, and coming up at 5 Central on this afternoon's Nothing But Truth, we'll reveal how Trump's speech on fighting radical Islam exposed progressive failures and the sad reality of our national security debate. Also, an update on Milwaukee and how America's racial discussion got stuck on stupid. Plus, Arnold Allart weighs in on immigration reform. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Wesley with you today. We're missing Alex. He's with Angie on a few days off. And you say, well, what's he doing off? Well, let me tell you, if anybody deserves it, it would be Alex. He travels so much, and a lot of times Angie's left at home. So we pray for them continually, but pray they'd have a great time and a great renewal time there. So, Wesley, you ready to go to the phone lines?
I'm excited. This is one of the best parts because I do a lot of learning right here.
Well, this is what makes Exploring the Word. It's the dialogue and then the questions.
It makes
this program more really different than all the Bible study questions.
And it brings in our audience
to
be a part of what we're doing.
And
here,
like I said, we learn from them as well, don't we?
Amen. I'm excited.
Okay, let's go to Mississippi and talk to Brian. Brian, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey there. First time caller.
Welcome, brother. Welcome.
Thank you. I have a question about what the Bible says as far as interracial marriage goes. I have my beliefs about it, and I believe I can verify what the Bible says about it, but I have a coworker that his opinion differs from mine. I wanted to get your take on it and see if you can add to what I already know.
Okay, Brian, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. It's the question that if you've been pastoring for 40 years or 38, I round it off to 40 sometimes, guys, but around 40 years as I have, that question has come up many, many, many times. First of all, there's examples of interracial marriage in the Bible, and it does not show God condemning interracial marriage at all. Matter of fact, one of the great heroes, Moses, was definitely involved in an interracial marriage, and there was some condemnation of that, and guess what? The people who was condemning it are the ones that were condemned, or they got the punishment.
Yeah.
And Moses needed her at a very strategic time in Moses' life when he wasn't carrying out the will of God. She reminded him of what they should be and what they should do. When you say interracial marriage, I'm going to fall back on this, and I do believe it. Honestly, there's only one race, and that's the human race.
Right.
So in some ways, there's no such thing as interracial marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a biblical thought. It's man and woman, that's for sure.
Yes.
Anything apart from that is not marriage.
Yeah, and I thought another thing is the more that I've had this question come up for me personally too, and the more that I've looked into it and talking with my black friends at work here and other places that are Christians, the more I dig in deep, really, it's just the difference of level of pigments.
Someone said it's a pigment of God's imagination.
Yeah. That's good one, Brother Bert.
Well, I heard that. I'll give credit to J.J. Jasper.
Okay.
J.J.'s the one that taught me that. It's a pigment of God's imagination.
But for our list, or for the caller who called in, Brian, if your friend, I'm not sure if he's a Christian or not, or if he's trying to use scripture or not, but there's a place in Deuteronomy chapter 7 where it talks about not marrying and to intermarrying with other people, but that is specific to their religion.
Exactly.
And that's revisited in the New Testament when it says do not be unequally yoked.
Nope, together with unbelievers.
Right.
And so the Bible does say
there's
a warning there.
Yeah, there's a warning there. But as far as interracial marriage, we've also got to remember James chapter 2 where it talks about loving each other regardless of whether we're poor or rich, no show, no partiality. That's the language it uses.
And one more thing that I would say, Ezra, read the book of Ezra, and what they did, they started marrying interreligiously, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened, they happened to be of another nationality, okay? So you could say internationality marriage. But again, it wasn't for the fact of different colors.
Pigment.
It had the idea of it was their faith in the Lord.
Right, religion.
And so, Brian, that's our answer. And what does somebody say? And I'm going to stick to it.
I'm going to stick to it.
I hope that helps. And, brother, thank you for listening. And don't let this be your last call. We'd love to hear from you again. Okay, let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Walter. Walter, welcome.
All right, thank you. And I always have believed that when Sarah had Isaac, that it was a miracle. And also when Jesus arose from the dead, that there was also a miracle. But there was a discussion that as believers, we should believe that, and that disciples should have believed, and Jesus told them that he would arise. So therefore, to unbelievers, it would be a miracle, but those who believe in Jesus Christ, it wouldn't be a miracle. But I still think that it is
Amen.
A miracle.
Walter, I believe it is a miracle. I mean, let me set this up, and Wesley, you follow along. Walter, listen, I think this might be good. Jesus prepared those disciples about his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
If you read the book of Mark, and the book of Mark has a lot of it's chronologically pretty correct. Matthew has some lot of mixture in with it. It's more theme oriented than Mark.
Yeah.
But at Mark, when Jesus started teaching them that he would go to Jerusalem and he would die and suffer many things, but then he'd rise again. So he started preparing them and telling them he'd rise again. Now, if you remember what happened, Peter confronted him not about the resurrection, but about him being offered up as a sacrifice. And that's when Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He told Peter that. And so Jesus was preparing them for this. It was, but they didn't necessarily believe it, Walter, because if you remember, Thomas didn't believe it. The others had, until they saw the risen Lord, they were not believers. But when they saw the empty tomb, it says John remembered and believed. Mm-hmm. You remember when Mary and the others went to the tomb and they found the body gone? And the angel said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen."
Yeah.
They went back and told them. Peter and John ran as fast as they could. And John was younger than Peter, so he got there faster. And he stood at the door, okay? Mm-hmm. And Peter rushed on in and went in there to see. Peter doubted. He was wondering what took place. John believed immediately. And it was still a miracle.
Yeah, I completely agree it's a miracle. And thinking about the Great Commission, you know, that's another time where Jesus appeared. And, you know, that's the only appointment that was set previous, that was set by previous appointment where Jesus said, "Meet me here." That was before he died or before he was crucified on the cross. And then it came to pass and they were there. And so that's the one of the only, now there were several times post-resurrection where he appeared. We see in the book of Acts.
About 11 or 12 times. There's a little bit of people think 11 and some 12.
I've heard 12 before too, but this is the only one, the Great Commission, that was set by previous appointment. You'll see that in Matthew 26. But what I was going to say to that was, yes, I believe also that it was a miracle, even though it says there in the Great Commission that many believed or some believed and then also some doubted. And I'm comfortable with that because I think about my own life. I still live in that. I'm saved by God's grace, but there's that war that rages within the flesh.
I think Paul had that same
thing. Yeah, he had that same thing.
So you're not in bad company.
No, I'm not in bad company. But now we would like to prepare behind the scenes for the battle ahead, but the reality is even Peter, you know, made some mistakes and said, you know, ended up denying them. So I'm not just going to beat up the apostles for, you know, for having a little doubt maybe somewhere or a couple of them, but I think what took place was definitely a miracle.
Well, it was, and listen, let their manhood bless you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
If God could use them, he might could use somebody like me.
Yeah, I know.
We've done this several times, and I'm going to do it real quickly, Walter. When I look at the heroes in the Old Testament and some of the heroes in the New Testament and see their character flaws and some of the things they did, I'm amazed. I mean, the three big ones, they've heard me say this on Exploring the Word, and I am repeating myself, I admit it. But when you look at Abraham, Moses, and David, the big three, you see some severe character flaws in their lives, and God could use them. And people say, how could God use someone like that? They had a heart for God.
Yeah.
I praise God he looks upon the heart.
Yeah.
That way I don't have to remember exactly the words I used when I asked Jesus Christ into my life. Did I say the right words? Did I have the
did
exact
you use
right
it in
formula?
Original language.
Oh yes. Did I it's a matter of the heart.
Yeah.
And has your heart been changed? Are you toward God?
Born again.
Yes, if you've been born again. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I just want to tell you, you're missing out on the great adventure. Stephen Curtis Chapman, I believe, wrote that song, Saddle Up Your Horses. I don't know if that's, but yeah, Brent knows that song. You need to learn it, Wes.
I need to learn that one.
Worth it. But it's a great adventure that we're in Christ. And people say, well, kind of the Christian life is dull. People that believe the Christian life is dull have not lived it.
Nope.
Mm-mm. They, you know, and I just want to encourage you, come to Christ. And there's a number you can call. It's 888-NEED-HIM, 888-NEED-HIM. And Wesley, there's people there that want to talk to these that are searching and letting them know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by him.
John 14:6.
Okay. Thank you, Walter. And it's a miracle. I put it this way, but the greatest miracle, and this is a song, and I'm not going to sing it, so don't have to cover your ears, but the greatest miracle of all is when he saved my soul. Amen?
Amen.
That was a miracle of mercy and grace.
Miracle,
that was a miracle.
I've had several miracles that's happened in my life over the past. Do we have a caller? I could share a story. We've got a caller. If we got one, go with them.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Tennessee and talk to Levi. Levi, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, sir. Reverend Burke?
Yes, sir.
I'm a first-time caller.
Amen.
I normally hear the recording of you all at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Well, Levi, I know you need to talk, but you're one of my heroes. If you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning, brother, and listening, thank you.
Yes, sir. Listen to you all every day.
Amen.
Well, my question is concerning Moses. I'm just want to know, it may not even be stated in the Bible, when he went up in the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, how long was he up there the first time? And because he broke the tablets, he had to go back and get them again.
Yes, he did have to go back. Okay.
Sure. And I don't know if it's even in the Bible, but I often wondered about that, and I wonder how long was he up there, because he was gone so long till they made the golden calf, and they was partying and stuff when he got back. So
yeah.
How long was he up there?
We got our research team, Wesley and Brent, checking that out. And 40, listen, let me share this with you, Levi. You can usually say 40 days on time, stuff like that, and you got it right. It's like they're looking it up, and maybe we'll have that answer. But there's this little boy. He wasn't paying attention in Sunday school, and his teacher asked him, "Now, what's the answer?" Little boy held up his hand. He said, "Jesus." And the teacher said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Jesus is always the answer." And there's a lot of truth in that. Guys, have y'all found? I'm not sure.
No, I'm not. I haven't found it yet.
Okay.
I'm not sure if there is an answer to that, but I'll keep looking.
Okay, but what you said, Levi, we want to talk about that. He was up there long enough that they thought he should be back. And when he didn't come back on their time scale, that's when they talked Aaron into
40 days.
40 days?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought that was it, but it's fun when you're right and you don't know you're right.
Yeah.
Okay?
You almost said it.
Well, I said 40 days.
You did say it.
Yeah, I said that's the answer most of the time, and I think it is.
So that wasn't God speaking that I heard.
No, it was not God. That was me trying to remember. It wasn't a voice from God, Wesley. But the thing about it, they were rebelling against God because God did not fit their timetable. I want to take a message on that, Levi, because I think it's so true. We put God on a timetable. Mm-hmm. If we pray and God doesn't come through when we think he should, guess what we do? Yeah. We put it in our own hands. We go borrow the money. We go make arrangements. Mm-hmm. And we miss out on what God had. Now, I don't want to put more on that than I should, but I think that is true. We give, you know, you remember Lazarus?
Uh-huh.
4 days? And they said, "Oh, you're too late, Jesus. He stinks by now."
Time limit. Yeah.
Time limit. We put, don't we, Brent? We put time limits on God.
You know, a very personal example. My wife and I, when we joined our church, Hope, and here in Tupelo, we had prayed. At the time, they didn't have a young couples class. Well, we prayed for a young couples class where there were several weeks, several months went by, and they didn't have one. Well, all of a sudden, as soon as we were about to make a move and try something different is when they presented one and made one available. That was all in God's timing. But we could have, you know, got it into our own hands or figured something else out, but we were patient enough to be able to see God answer the prayers that we asked.
If you're waiting on God, you don't, you know, waiting doesn't mean waiting and doing nothing.
No, that word waiting is an active.
It's
That's an active word.
It's active word. And you wait upon the Lord. You keep on. I heard one of my heroes, his name is Ron Dunn. He's gone to be of the Lord, one of the greatest preachers that I ever heard. Matter of fact, Dr. Adrian Rogers referred to him and had him preach in his pulpit many times. He said it is active waiting. And while you're waiting on the Lord, you keep on opening your mail. In other words, you keep on preaching. You keep on trusting. You keep on going and working. And there may be a time frame where you fast for a little period of time and pull to the side and wait, but it's not forever. You wait upon the Lord. We had two first-time callers today, guys.
I hope we can have some more first-time callers tomorrow.
Yeah, we want to say thank you, Brian, Walter, and Levi, for calling. We appreciate you. We want you to listen tomorrow. Wesley, you going to be on with us again tomorrow?
I'll be on. I'm looking forward to it.
Amen. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio. Coming up next is Tony Perkins, Washington Watch, and then Crane Durham. We've got a lineup that I think you'll enjoy if you stay with us. But we thank you for listening to this program, Exploring the Word, right in the middle of the afternoon as we look at God's Word. Tell someone about Exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about the Lord Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.